Access to websites linked to the communist movement, including those of progressive groups and alternative media, ordered blocked by government. That move slammed by several organizations, calling it a blatant violation of the right to information and free speech. We'll speak to one of the affected groups, Pamalakaya, as well as a spokesperson of government's anti-communist task force, Undersecretary Jonathan Malaya. The incoming tax chief will ask President-elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to be a good role model for taxpayers. And thousands in the public transport sector have either dropped out or were laid off amid the pandemic and the soaring prices of fuel. We'll tackle that with Senate Energy Committee Chairman Sherwin Gatchalian. Hi, I'm Pramina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook Live, you could join us today. Topping the midday news, the Philippine government blocks several websites which it claims are linked to communists. The National Telecommunications Commission's move was made upon the request of National Security Advisor Hermógenes Esperón. The request also sought to ban access to several independent media websites and progressive groups like Save Our Schools Network and Pamalakaya. Esperon claims the sites were publishing propaganda and misinformation campaigns to malign the Philippine government, recruit rebels, and solicit funds from local and international sources, but he did not present any proof to support his claims. Government's order to block websites allegedly linked to the communist movement drawing criticisms. Independent media Bulatlat, enraged over its inclusion in the order, it slams the move as a brazen violation of its right to publish and the public's right to free press. Progressive group Bayan, meanwhile, says the NTC request shows how arbitrary the use of terrorist labeling and red tagging have become. The National Union of Journalists of the Philippines now calling on authorities to reconsider the inclusion of news sites and websites of activist groups. Fisherfolk group Pamalakaya also denouncing what it calls government's attack on the public's freedom of information and speech. The group's national chairperson, Fernando Hicap, now joins us here on the program. Mr. Hicap, magandang hapon po. Thanks for joining us today and welcome to the program.
Hi, magandang hapon. Carmina at sa inyong programa. Magandang hapon po sa inyong lahat.
Diretsuhin ko po kayo. Kayo ho ba ay front ng CPP-NPA-NDF?
Matagal na po yan na accusation sa amin. No? Hindi lang itong administration, mga nagdaan pa. Pero mas malala ngayon. No? Ang accusation na yan, kapag meron kaming mga isyo na matindi, yung mga maliliit na mga isda tulad halimbawa, ng issue ng West Philippine Sea, yung pagtutol namin sa pagpayag ni Pangulong Duterte verbally na hayaang makapangisda yung mga mangisda ng China sa West Philippine Sea at yung hindi pagkilala ng arbitral ruling, no, na decision ng 2016 in favor sa atin, at ganoon din itong matinding epekto ng mga proyekto ng Bilbil program tulad ng reclamation, mga blocks and mining sa ating mga pangisdaan na nakakaapekto sa buhay at kabuhayan at paninirahan ng mga maliliit na mangisda. Lagi-lagi itong red tagging, no, na nire-redtag kami ng gobyerno.
Pero kayo ba ay miyembro ng communist group?
Hindi po totoo, no? Ako ay chairman ng Pamalakaya Pilipinas since 2002, no? Noong Congress ng Pamalakaya at hanggang ngayon, ako po ang tagapangulo at ako po ay isang maliliit na mga isla.
Mm. And to the point that some are making, Ginoong Hicap, na kahit po to ay totoo, hindi naman daw po kayo aamin. Ano po ang masasagot nyo dito?
Wala pong katotohanan yan kasi wala po talagang batayan, no? Na ako ay member ng CPP-NPA at ang katunayan, no? Ako ay isang maliliit na mangisda. Kailanman po ay hindi ako na-involved sa anumang kinasabi nilang terrorist attack. Ang involvement ko po doon sa pagtutol, no, sa iba't ibang mga problema at suliranin ng mga maliliit na mangisda, lalo't lalo na ito ay kung man-made, no, at maging sa mga calamity ay involved kami para doon sa pagtulong, no, ng aming mga mass member kung merong mga masasamang panahon. At ganun din, no? Yung aming ginagawa ay pagbibigay ng mga pag-aaral sa mga mass member namin para mahigit na makilala at maunawaan nila ano yung mga batas at programa sa pangisdaan ng ating bansa at ano yung nakakatulong at ano yung nakakaapekto sa amin para nang sa gayon, no, ay magamit namin yung aming kalaban para igiit namin yung aming mga karapatan sa malayang pangisdaan at pamumuhay sa ating pangisdaan.
Ito po ang sinasabi ni National Security Advisor Hermogenes Esperon tungkol po sa grupo ninyo at yung iba pa pong grupo na kasama doon sa listahan na tanggalin ng access, no? Tanggalan ng access sa internet. Ang sinasabi po niya ay yung websites po ninyo at kung ano man po ang pinapublish dito ay para lamang siraan ang Philippine government para din mag-recruit, maghikayat ng mga rebelde, para rin po humingi ng funding from local and international sources. Ito ho ba ay ang punot dulo ng kung anumang pinapublish niyo po sa inyong website?
Malinaw, no? Maski tingnan natin yung mga public, mga website namin, ano, yung mga pinapublish namin dyan, ay yung mga recent issue o ng mga maliit na mga isda, yung mga pang-araw-araw na mga problema at sulatin at ano yung aming mga panawagan, no? Kung yung aming panawagan na dapat ay palayasin ang mga China diyan sa West Philippine Sea, yun po ay batayan para kami sabihin na front o member o ng CPPNPE o ng komunista, ay hindi po katanggap-tanggap yun, no? Kung ang paglaban namin dito sa mapanirang mga reklamasyon tulad nitong nagaganap dito sa Manila Bay na ongoing, no, yung pagtatambak ng 2,500 hektarya ng Erythropolis na kinukuha ang buhangin, dinidrace dyan sa gitna ng Manila Bay at ganoon din, no, yung expansion ng Mall of Asia na nag-start pa last October at ongoing yan hanggang ngayon, no, na wala nang mahuli ang mga mangisda. O ito ba ang pagtutulba rito ay gawain ng mga komunista o terorista? Kung ganun, ay talagang maaari na terorista ako dahil talagang tututulan namin at talalabanan namin at hindi kami mapatahimik, no, para hindi namin isigaw o ipaabot sa lahat ng mamayang Pilipino kung ano ang maging epekto nito sa mga mangis ng Pilipino at ganun din, no, for the future sa mga susunod generation sa food security, food supply ng ating bayan kapag patuloy na sinira ang ating pangisdaan.
Ang Ginoong Hikap, kamakailan, I think we've been discussing this for the past 2 days now. Lumabas po ang balita na mismong si President-elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr. ang siyang gustong mamuno sa Department of Agriculture. Siya po mismo ang nag-anunsyo nito. At ang pinublish niyo po sa inyong Facebook account, ang hindi niyo that you had doubts, no, that you had doubts that he will be able to address the magnitude of problems in the agri-fisheries sector. Nangangahulugan ho ba, Ginoong Hikap, na kung meron kayong pag-aalinlangan, nangangahulugan ho ba na ito'y katumbas ng hindi ninyo pagkagusto na magtagumpay itong administrasyon ni President-elect Marcos?
Mali po, no? Mali. Yung ganong intensyon, no? O paratang sa amin. Ang sinasabi namin, ano, ng pamalakay Pilipinas, na nababahala kami, no? Na si Pangulong Elect Bongbong Marcos ang mamamahala sa Department of Agriculture, no? Ang una, ang dahilan dyan, wala po siyang background. Wala po siyang alam sa isyu at problema ng mga magsasaka. Maging siya, wala siyang batas, no? Na naipasa. Nung siya ay naging governor ng Ilocos, nung siya ay naging legislator. Kaya hindi po kami, ano yan, hindi po kami, ay nababahala po kami sa ganong sitwasyon. Marami pong mga Pilipino na maaari na mapangunahan at pangasiwaan ng maayos yung ating napakahalaga na departamento para matiyak natin yung sustainable and food sufficiency and food supply ng ating mamayang Pilipino. And sa part namin kasi, ang hindi tao ang problema talaga sa pamahalaan o dyan sa ahensya ng gobyerno. Ang pinakamatinding problema dyan kapag hindi natin nireforma yung mga butas, batas at programa na pinapatupad ng ating departamento at ng ating gobyerno sa agrikultura, no, ng ating bansa, kailanman ay hindi malulutas ang problema natin ng kakulangan at kakulangan ng supply ng pagkain at patuloy na pag-asa sa importation at kagutuman sa mga lumilikha nito, no?
Opo. But glad that you mentioned that, Ginoong Hikap, because yan din ho ang sinabi ni President-elect Marcos doon po sa kanyang press con na precisely he's going to be leading the Agriculture Department in so many words because he wants to reorganize it first dahil marami nga daw problema. At yun muna ang kanyang gagawin. So babalik po ako dun sa
policy talaga ang kailangan natin.
Yung policy
kasi yun. Opo. Yung policy kasi natin sa agrikultura eh mas yung mga neo-lib na mga patakaran na tinutulak ng World Trade Organization at ngayon, no. Itong pamaratipika at ma-approve naman itong RCEP, yung Regional Economic Partnership Agreement with China, ay ganun din, ano, na ang ating agrikultura ay inihahanda for export at ang ating ekonomiya ay nakaasa sa import. Export-oriented, import-dependent. Kailangan nating baguhin, lalo na yung rice tariffication law, no? Yung rice liberalization law na nabatinding epekto sa mga magsasaka at ganoon din yung patuloy na pagbaha ng malayang pagbaha, no, ng mga bigas o imported na bigas sa ating bayan.
Pero kayo ho ba ay gumagalaw, Ginoong Hika, para pabagsakin itong administrasyon ni Bongbong Marcos Jr. na hindi pa man siya nagsisimula?
Mali po, no? Mali po ang interpretasyon sa pamalakaya. Ang pamalakaya po, 1987 pa, nabuo bilang pambansang federasyon ng mga organisasyon ng maliliit na mga isda. Tuloy-tuloy po ng aming pakipag-ugnayan sa mga local government, sa mga government agency tulad ng DENR, ng DEPAR, ng DE, you know, at iba't iba pa na mayroong involved na kaugnayan sa pagkasira at pagkawasak ng ating pangisdaan. Para ang aming layunin talaga ay dapat igiit ang karapatan ng mga mangisdang Pilipino, lalo't lalo ng mga maliliit na pangunahin dapat. Sila yung nagkikinabang ng yaman ng pangisdaan natin, hindi yun ang dayuhan. At ganun din, itigil ang mga mapanirang mga proyekto ng pribado at gobyerno na sumisira sa ating pangisdaan na nag-aamba doon sa pagkakaroon natin ng food crisis. No?
Opo. At dahil po nandito na po tayo sa ganitong sitwasyon na hindi na po ma-access ang inyong website, although your Facebook account, your Facebook page is still active, gaano kalaki ang epekto nito sa inyo pong advokasya?
Malaki pong epekto talaga, ano? Kasi ito na lang yung pinakamabilis at updated na pamamaraan namin para sa information, hindi lang sa hanay naming mga maliliit na mga isda, kundi sa ating mga kababayan na mga advocate at supporter at mga environmentalist, no? Sa mga pangisdaan natin. At the same time, sa gobyerno, no? Ng sa gobyerno natin na ang epekto nito ay sarado sila para pakinggan o unawain man lang, ano, yung mga legitimate issue ng mga mangingisda at iba't iba pang sektor na kasama doon sa blinak nila yung mga information dito sa website and other information.
So finally, Ginoong Hikap, now that we're here, where do you go from here? Ano pong plano ng pamalakaya? Paano sa tingin nyo mareresolba itong isyong ito?
Actually, nagko-consulta na kami sa iba pang mga grupo na kasama doon sa mga gustong i-block, no, ng National Security Advisor na kung ano ang legal action. Pero i-block man kami o hindi, magpapatuloy po kami, no, sa aming karapatan, sa aming advokasya na para manatili, no, na yung mga mangisdang Pilipino yung nagkikinabang sa yaman ng pangisdaan at ang pangisdaan natin ay maging source, ano, ng sustainable supply ng pagkaing isda at iba pang lamang dagat ng ating mga kababayan, hindi lang ngayon kundi sa mga susunod na generasyon.
Ginoong Fernando Hikap, National Chairperson of Pamalakaya, thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for taking our call. Ingat po kayo. Keep safe.
Maraming salamat, Carmina, at mabuhay po kayo. At maraming salamat, ano, sa pagbibigay ng pagkakataon para may palawanag namin ang aming part at aming advocacy at paninindigan sa pagpundi na dito sa tuloy-tuloy na rigtaging at pag-block planong pag-block talaga sa para malaya makapagpadali kami ng information ng mga problema at suliranin ng mga mangingisdang Pilipino. No? Muli po, magandang hapon sa ating lahat.
At magandang hapon din po sa inyo. Moving on, the Philippine Interior Department claims communist groups are plotting to disrupt the inauguration of President-elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Interior Undersecretary Jonathan Malaya says the left has been mobilizing support in the central and southern Tagalog provinces to make a scene during Marcos's oath-taking on June 30th. His assertion came after government's anti-insurgency task force presented two former rebels who bared the supposed plot. And we'll be speaking now with Interior Undersecretary Jonathan Malaya. He's also, by the way, the spokesperson of government's anti-communist task force. Undersecretary, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon, Carmina, and good afternoon to all our televiewers.
All right, so first, let's cut to the chase here. The DILG to thwart any attempt to embarrass or disrupt the inauguration of President-elect Bongbong Marcos. Let's define that word first. What is the definition of the DILG of embarrassment?
Well, what we're receiving are intelligence reports coming from different sources from the intelligence community. And we find it as not surprising because these communist groups are, of course, out to discredit any administration, whether it's something they support or not. So it's really their objective to bring down government and establish a socialist state or a communist state in the Philippines. So it's really up to them what they intend to do. But what we have received so far is that they are planning to mobilize protest actions against meant to disrupt the forthcoming inauguration of the president-elect.
Undersecretary, kindly clarify that for us, because you were quoted to have said that leftist organizers have been organizing. But you just said a while ago that they're planning. So what is it really? Are they organizing as we speak or just planning to organize? What does the chatter say? What does the intelligence report say?
Well, this was made very clear by the former rebels who appeared during the press briefing last Monday. And the former rebels informed us and exposed to the public that organizing is currently happening in Tarlac, for example, and in other provinces in Luzon for purposes of mobilizing people to possibly disrupt the inauguration. Mm. Now, I cannot reveal, Carmina, no, all that we know because these are all, of course, confidential information.
Right.
But what I say right now is that we are prepared to counter any attempt to disrupt the organization, the inauguration, and that the Philippine National Police, which is part of the DILG, is mobilizing all its available resources to ensure that we have a peaceful transition of power come June 30.
But if you already know that they're already organizing as we speak in what you say and where you say these places are, Tarlac, Cavite, Pampanga, and Laguna, if you already know about that, why can't you do something about it now and not wait for them to come in and disrupt the inauguration?
As you said very well, Carmina, they always will not admit what they're planning to do, okay? And they will always hide behind the laws of the land. Well, all they will say, no, in public is that we are peacefully assembling, and if we stop them now, no, in their tracks, they're going to say, oh, this is a suppression of the people's right to peacefully assemble. This is a suppression of the people's right to free speech. No, so
and isn't that true?
No, because to assemble peacefully is a constitutional right. Therefore, what we're saying to them is, you can hold your protest actions so long as these are within the bounds of the law. The law provides for freedom parks. And freedom parks are located everywhere in Metro Manila. No? Liwasang Bonifacio is there, Plaza Moriones, Plaza Miranda. Hold your events there. Huwag po kayo makipaggitgitan sa pulis, no, sa araw ng inaugurasyon. Kasi hindi po natin nahayaan yan. We will not allow that to happen precisely because the entire country is looking for a peaceful transition of power. No, we have 31 million people voting for the president-elect, and we have to respect the decision of the people.
Undersecretary Malaya, there's something I think lost in translation here. If you can please clarify it for us. For any group that goes out to air their grievances, air their concerns, would you already see them as automatically communist groups out to overthrow the government, out to discredit the incoming administration, Undersecretary?
No, Carmina, that's a misnomer. That is a misunderstanding or a miscommunication. Because we all know that we have freedom of speech in this country. Everyone can speak, no? So, ang sinasabi lang natin, do not attempt any manner of disruption of the inauguration. So, if for example, the radical left intends to hold rallies in the freedom parks, such as Plaza Miranda, as I mentioned, or Diwasang Bonifacio, they are free to do so, no? As any individual, these rights are constitutionally enshrined and therefore they are to be respected. Ang mahirap is if they go beyond that. If they are planning something violent, for example, to disrupt the inauguration, that is something else. Gaya kanina, Carmina, no? When our friend from Pamalahaya said that he was saying, if to be a communist is to oppose the West Philippine Sea, if to be a communist is to oppose the reclamation. That's not what we're talking about, no? To oppose the reclamation is a legitimate concern. Mm-hmm. To oppose incursions into the West Philippine Sea is a legitimate concern. That is not the reason why their website is being requested to be taken down by government.
So give us that reason. First of all, let's backtrack a bit since we've already moved on to our next topic, Undersecretary. We do know that there was a meeting that was held recently. And within that meeting, the National Task Force, the NTF-LCAC, approved, or the Anti-Terrorism Council approved and issued the following resolutions, designating the Communist Party of the Philippines and the New People's Army as a terrorist as terrorist organizations, designating Central Committee members of the CPP-NPA as terrorists, and the other thing is designating the National Democratic Front of the Philippines as a terrorist organization. In that same meeting, did you also discuss that all these websites will be asked to be access to these websites will be blocked by the NTC, Undersecretary?
Yes, I think Carmina, you will have to ask General Esperon, no, about that. No, he's the National Security Advisor, and you'll be in a better position to answer that question. Mm. No?
So this wasn't discussed. This is solely the NSC's move.
Let's state for the record, no, because I don't know, no, it's best that you know General Esperon answer that question. But let me just state for the record that the request of NSA Esperon for the blocking of the websites mentioned is in the letter is based on the anti-terrorism, as you mentioned, Anti-Terrorism Council resolutions, which designated the CPP, the NPA, the Central Committee members of the CPP, and designating the National Democratic Front of the Philippines as terrorist organization. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Pamalakaya, no, which is part of the National Democratic Front of the Philippines, no, is covered by the Anti-Terrorism Council resolution. So the request of NSA Esperon to the National Telecommunications Commission is in consonance with the ATC resolution. And remember, Carmina, NSA Esperon has the intelligence committee supporting him. No, he has access to all intelligence reports. So unfair naman yata kay NSA Esperon kung sasabihin ng Pamalakaya that there is no basis whatsoever on the request made by the National Security Council.
Mm. But doesn't that cut both ways as well, Undersecretary, that it's unfair as well for them to be red-tagged and included?
No, it's not, because this has basis, no? Kailangan natin bigyan ng pagkakataon ang National Security Council to reveal the basis for this. And see, as I was saying a while ago, the National Security Advisor has all the data needed. And I don't think he would have made that request to the National Telecommunications Commission without basis. Mm,
but what about what Pamalakaya just said? That it's what they publish there are their stance regarding issues, explaining issues, to their constituents, why does that necessarily have to mean that they're already communists?
No, that's the point, that they're trying to fool the public by saying we are being called communist because we're opposing incursions on the West Philippine Sea. No, no, no. A lot of people in this country oppose incursions in the West Philippine Sea, but they're not called communists. They are legitimate concerns. So what Pamalakay is trying to do is trying to appeal to emotion, trying to say, oh, just because we are opposing incursions in the West Philippine Sea, we are being called as communists. No, they are being called as communists because they are front organizations of the CPP and PA. And the Intelligence Committee has confirmed that report. The Anti-Terrorism Council has declared them as a terrorist organization. Therefore, that request must be made to the National Telecommunications Commission.
And what about Bulatlat? Bulatlat has issued a statement. They're asking, why are the powers that be so afraid of our truth-telling? Your answer.
Again, Carmina, I don't think the National Security Advisor, who is supported by the entire Intelligence Committee of the Philippine government, would have made a reckless request to the NTC on something which has no basis. No? I think if you will have NSA Esperon in your program, he will reveal to you all the information and the basis necessary to substantiate the claim why these websites have to be blocked. Now, if Pamalakaya wishes to make statements to the mainstream media, they're free to do so. No, they can come on your show, right? They can come on your show. They can use other forms of social media. And there's no stopping them from doing so because, as I said, their constitutional right to free speech is respected.
We're going to have to leave it at that. DILG Undersecretary Jonathan Malaya, thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate you coming to the show. Take care and keep safe.
Thank you very much.
From there, we're going to take a quick break. Up ahead, the Philippines' incoming tax chief wants President-elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to be a role model for taxpayers. Details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. Sorry. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Access to websites linked to the communist movement, including those of progressive groups and alternative media, ordered blocked by government. That move slammed by several organizations, calling it a blatant violation of the right to information and free speech. The incoming tax chief will ask President-elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to be a role model for taxpayers. And thousands in the public transport sector have either dropped out or were laid off amid the pandemic and the soaring prices of fuel. Back with more news, incoming tax chief Lilia Guillermo will have a transition meeting with current Internal Revenue Bureau Commissioner Cesar Dulay on Monday. Guillermo says among the documents she asked from her predecessor are documents on the Marcos family's estate tax debt, so she can determine how much they actually owe the BIR.
Kung sakasakaling talagang I have to collect or BIR has to collect, sabi ko sa kanya, this amount, and this amount hindi po naman talaga kayong magbabayad, it's the estate, no? Pwede ba maging role model kayo? The Marcoses will now pay their taxes because nag-comply sa batas. It came from the Supreme Court, it's final and executory, pero I should have the correct data. I should know what really is in that decision. I-explain ko sa kanya. Siguro sa dalawa kami ni Governor Jokno mag-explain sa kanya.
The Supreme Court has ruled that the Marcos family should pay 23 billion pesos in estate taxes with interest over several decades. The amount is estimated to be at around 203 billion pesos. The United Nations says there are serious indications of possible genocide and war crimes by Russia in Ukraine. But according to the UN Special Advisor on the Prevention of Genocide, only a court can order criminal investigations into these allegations. Another official fears Ukraine will not be the last victim of Russia's aggressions.
There are many victims of this war, and it's unlikely that we will ever be able to count them accurately. But there will be more. There will be much more if we do not stop Russia and do not do everything possible to make the Russian understand their mistake. If this process of bringing them back to humanistic values does not happen, as it did in Germany, Russia will do it again.
Outgoing Philippine Central Bank Governor Benjamin Diokno remains optimistic the local economy can grow 7% this year despite global uncertainties. The incoming finance secretary admits global economic recovery prospects are again at risk due to the fallout from Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which triggered high oil prices and supply chain disruptions. But he notes the Philippine economy has a strong footing.
Maganda ekonomiya natin, ha? Kasi you have to look at the economy grew by 8.3%. There are 3 million more jobs now than before, kumpara mo sa crisis. No? So that's March 2020. We are pleasantly surprised that the recovery came early. Kaya kami nag-a-adjust na kami ng interest rate. Our forecast is that yung second quarter is baka mas maganda pa siya kaysa sa first quarter.
The Philippines has revised its 2022 GDP target to 7-8% from the previous range of 7-9%, citing external risks like the Russia-Ukraine war and a slowing economy in China. The CEO of ExxonMobil says consumers must be prepared to endure up to 5 years of turbulent oil markets. ExxonMobil's Darren Woods says this should prompt governments to think long term, because the volatility of prices won't end soon. Meanwhile, representatives from the Middle East energy industry also renewed calls for better planning in consumer countries. Energy markets have been roiled by the Ukraine war as the West banned oil imports from Russia. Back here at home, the Philippine public transportation sector running thin as public utility vehicle drivers are forced to quit because of high operation costs. The Land Transportation Franchising and Regulatory Board says over 5,300 PUVs did not renew their franchise with the agency or have dropped out of the industry these past 2 years. The Senate Energy Committee also learned around 26,000 provincial bus workers have been laid off. That says soaring fuel prices compound difficulties brought about by the pandemic. Taxi drivers and operators, well, they're also feeling the pinch. The president of the Philippine National Taxi Operators Association says around 32,000 drivers have quit since the coronavirus crisis began in 2020.
Prior to the pandemic, we had in Metro Manila, we had around 27,000 units which were plying. Nung nagsimula yung pandemic and up to this time, bumaba ng 12,000 yung number ng mga units na bumabiyahe. Doon sa 12,000 na yan, you need two drivers, basically two drivers per unit on the part of the taxi. So roughly, nawalan tayo ng mga on the part of the taxi lang in Metro Manila, around 32,000 drivers ang nawalan.
Philippine Senator Grace Poe says she will seek the suspension of the excise tax on fuel once the 19th Congress convenes in July. Poe plans to refile a bill seeking an automatic suspension of the excise tax on fuel when the average price exceeds $80 per barrel for 3 months prior to the scheduled increase. Poe says the suspension would provide a crucial lifeline to vulnerable sectors. She adds, if government is willing to spend billions in cash assistance to targeted beneficiaries, it should also be ready to forgo a portion of its revenues during the most critical times. Under the Tax Reform for Acceleration and Inclusion Law, excise tax on gasoline is at 10 pesos per liter, while diesel is pegged at 6 pesos per liter, on top of the value-added tax of 12%. We'll speak now with the chairman of the Senate Energy Committee, Senator Sherwin Gatchalian. Senator, thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program. Nice to have you on board.
Thank you, Carmina. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. So, Senator, you've heard the pleas. You know the numbers. You know how the sector is doing, the transport sector in particular. You've heard their pleas. What now?
Well, Carmina, it seems to me that the situation is quite dire. And I was talking to the transport sector yesterday, DOE, and some industry players, and they are seeing a common direction. that this elevated price of oil will be protracted, meaning that it will last until probably end of the year. But earlier, I heard from the CEO of ExxonMobil that he's looking for the next 5 years.
Correct.
So whether it's until end of the year or the next 5 years, we are seeing a $120 per barrel elevated prices in the medium term. So meaning we have to be prepared to shield our transport sector from this elevated pricing. I understand that we cannot raise fares right away because it's a balancing act, balancing inflation and balancing the consumer capability on paying transport fares. So in the meantime that we are shielding the consumer, government has to step in and increase subsidies through Pantawid Pasada in the next 6 months.
But how sustainable is that? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen after those 6 months.
Well, for now, Carmina, it's still cheaper than suspending excess tax on fuel. If you suspend excess tax on fuel, government will lose about 150 billion pesos in the next 6 months. My proposal is to give at least 3,000 a month for our public utility drivers in the next 5 months. That will cost approximately about 4 billion pesos. So it's still quite cheaper, no, compared to suspending excise tax on fuel.
But what can 3,000 per month buy them at this point when, you know, inflation is runaway according to some?
This is only to cover, of course, Carmina, this is only to cover the expenses and their take-home pay. At this level, at 80 pesos per liter of gasoline and diesel, they're taking home zero. They're not taking home anything.
Yeah.
So the 3,000 pesos just to cover their take-home pay at 3,000 pesos. Of course, we're hoping that it will not go up. It will not go beyond 80 pesos per liter in the next few months. But at least my proposal is to help them take home something for their family.
Yeah.
But
of course,
you have to prepare. No? Yeah. I'm not saying that prices will not escalate in the near term, mm-hmm. but at least we're shielding our consumers from a runaway inflation.
Yeah, but of course, you're talking about those in the transport sector that are still there. You're not talking about those who had to leave because of the pandemic and the high fuel prices anymore.
Correct. The subsidies will encourage our drivers to go back and drive. At least if they are on the road, they will earn something as opposed to just being jobless. So the 3,000 is to hit all the drivers and encourage them to go on the streets and continue their work. The other side of them stopping driving is we will have under capacity in terms of our transportation needs.
Right.
Especially during rush hours. Right now, a lot of our commuters are feeling inconvenienced because they're lining up longer. It's taking time for them to find public transportation. So we have to also balance supply and demand in terms of capacities.
Hmm.
And encouraging them to go on the street is actually one way of finding that supply and demand equilibrium in terms of capacities.
But then again, you have those who think, you know, that, you know, how else can they pay for the fares considering the high cost of basic commodities nowadays? So it's really this web of problems that...
Yes, definitely, Carmina. You're absolutely correct. No, everything is intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
And we're managing inflation. Fighting inflation should be the top priority of the next administration. And fighting inflation is always a balancing act. We cannot abruptly increase fares because it will spill over to food and to other things, to minimum wage. So it's really a balancing act. But in that balancing act, we can also inject interventions such as subsidies, such as the Pantawid Pasada. And the Pantawid Pasada seems to be a more economical approach, at least in the near term.
Okay, let's get into that. Because, you know, suspending the excise tax on oil, definitely out of the question after you listen to President-elect Marcos. He said that there are other forms of assistance that can be given to affected sectors. You mentioned Pantawid Pasada. What other forms of assistance can be given to alleviate the situation?
The other assistance being given is the Libreng Sakay program, wherein it's a service contracting. No? So what government has been doing in the past 2 months is they are contracting those who are not plying their routes because of high operating costs. Yeah. So what the government did is they contracted buses, they contracted jeeps so that they will continue to work and they will have income. And also, again, alleviate the commuting experience of our riding public. So there are two programs right now being launched, the Pantawid Pasada and the Libreng Sakay, both of which, are government subsidies to the public transportation that we need to sustain at least until end of the year. So my forecast here is we will need approximately about 4 billion to about 8 billion to shield the public transportation to this elevated elevated pricing of oil.
Okay, so far we've been talking about long term, 5 to 6 months. Senator, go ahead, answer the phone.
That's okay.
All right. So far we've been talking about short term, but you've reiterated so many times during this interview that we have to prepare. We don't know what's coming in the near future after the 6 months. What kind of preparation should we do? Is it in terms of legislation? Will it take the form of something else, Senator?
Well, definitely the solution is to make our country self-sufficient, meaning we have our own oil, we have our own gas, we generate our own power. But that will take time. But it should be on the pipeline as well, because we've been seeing this cycle for the last 30 years. And we've experienced supply crunch, we've experienced abrupt increase in prices over the last many, many years. So it's a learning process for us, saying that we need to be self-sufficient. Mm. We have to have our own energy. We have to have our own generation of power. And we cannot rely on importation. But that's on the long term. Now, going back to the short term and the medium term, we just need to prepare. We should fund the Pantawid Pasada and Libreng Sakay program for 2023 and onwards. And if you hear the experts like the CEO of ExxonMobil, if he's forecasting 5 years, then we just have to prepare for that. But we have very limited tools, honestly, Carmina.
Yeah.
And the tools that we are using now are direct subsidies.
And there's no other way?
So far, very limited. So far, very limited. Unless we can buy cheap oil from the Middle East and cheap gas from the Middle East, then that's another way of bring down oil prices.
Yeah, but
yesterday
about
we also talked about biofuels. Right now, ethanol is cheaper. So we are proposing to increase the ethanol blend from 10% to 20%. That will lower down gasoline prices by about 4 pesos per liter. Mm. So we're finding ways to help our riding public ease the increase in prices.
Okay, finding ways, that's what your colleague, Senator Grace Poe, is also doing. She said that she will seek the suspension of the excise tax on fuel once Congress convenes in July. What she plans to refile is a bill seeking an automatic suspension of the excise tax on fuel when the average price exceeds $80 per barrel for 3 months prior to the scheduled increase. How do you think this is going to fare? By the way, she's part of the majority, right?
Yes. She chairs the Public Services Committee, the committee that overlooks all the public transportation systems of our country.
So this early, with your differing views, and you both are part of the majority, how do you think this is going to sail, if at all, at the Senate?
Well, that is definitely that proposal has a cost. And the cost of removing excise tax on fuel will cost the country about $300 billion a year. So, but I'm not completely closing I'm not completely closing that options, because we can have a variation of that proposal. Not completely removing excise tax, maybe reducing it by a few notches, depending on the oil prices. So,
but won't this collide with President-elect Marcos's idea?
Well, definitely we have to balance it, no? Because one of the sectors that we're not hitting right now are the middle class.
Mm.
Yes, we're helping the riding public. Yes, we're helping the public utility vehicles. But the middle class is taking the hit because they have their own vehicles. They also have their own businesses. And that's where the excise tax suspension will probably alleviate the pain of our middle class. No? Mm. But that's on the last option, Carmina. I'm not putting that as the priority. because we need revenue, especially at this time that we're recovering from the pandemic and fiscal space is very low. We need to shore up as much revenues as possible. So I'm not throwing that away, but I'm not also putting that in the priority list of tools that we can use.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I got to ask you about the majority. With how the majority is shaping up over there at the Senate, what do you tell people who, you know, are concerned that we may not have an independent Senate senator?
Well, Carmina, independence will come in terms of policy, in terms of legislation, and even in the past, the Senate has been a collaborative Senate in terms of finding solutions and ways. The Senate will still maintain its independence when it comes to policy because we are all working for the common good and making sure that the policy is working for the people is also part of the responsibility of the Senate. So I don't see any diminishing of independence, especially coming this new administration.
Senator Sherwin Gachalian, there, Chairman of the Energy Committee at the Senate. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you coming to the show. Take care and keep safe.
Thank you.
And from there, we're going to take a quick break. Still ahead, the Okta Research Group suggests keeping COVID alert level 1 in the Philippines for now. More on that when we come back. Stay with ANC. More news. The Okta Research Group believes the Philippines should manage the ongoing increase in COVID-19 cases or what it calls a weak surge under alert level 1. Okta Research Fellow Dr. Guido David says in light of current economic obstacles, government should not escalate COVID restrictions yet. On Tuesday, the Philippines logged 409 fresh infections, pushing active cases to its highest since May 3rd.
At this time, considering the rising fuel prices, inflation, and all these challenges economically, and considering that there's only going to be a few severe cases based on our experience with Omicron, our position as a group is that we maintain alert level 1. Mm-hmm. And it's not saying that there's no threat. I mean, but considering the other factors, economics and everything, we think that we should try to manage this under alert level 1.
The Philippines begins today the COVID booster rollout for immunocompromised minors aged 12 to 17. They can get a third dose at least 28 days after completing their primary shots.
Importante yan, alam na natin na magbabalik na yung ating face-to-face mga klase. So mahalaga sa ating mga kabataan ang protektado with the primary dose. And then pag due na sila for booster, kailangan na lang mag-booster. Alam naman natin na sa isip ng ating pamahalaan, ang safety at well-being ng ating mamamayan, lalo na ngayon at may iba-ibang lumalabas na variants ng ating COVID-19 virus.
Health officials add the COVID booster rollout for the rest of the 12 to 17 age group will be delayed for a few days to avoid confusion. The interval between third and second doses for minors who are not immunocompromised is 5 months. In sports, the National University Lady Bulldogs ended their 65-year title drought in the UAAP Women's Volleyball Tournament in dominant fashion. The Lady Bulldogs overcame De La Salle University in the best of three finals without dropping a single set. They ended season 84 with a perfect 16-0 win-loss record. NU was led by Micaela Belen, the first ever rookie MVP winner in tournament history. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.